The playoffs are just around the corner, and it is time to oil up. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Edmonton's upcoming playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup this spring and shop the exclusive Oil Up playoff merch and more at nationgear.ca.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. 1 hour of straight hockey talk with Dan, Rick, Tyler, and Bag Milk starts now.
Oilers Nation Radio, episode 219. Bag Milk here, Dan, Tyler, and Ryan Pike from Flames Nation.
Boo Flames, boo.
Boo Flames. But we welcome Ryan here. He is in Edmonton to watch the Backstreet Boys. Tyler can't name a single Backstreet Boy.
But I can name songs.
I call shenanigans on that. I still do.
What's the first Backstreet Boy song that comes to your mind?
Backstreet's Back.
Everybody.
Yeah. That's it uses the name of the band in
yeah,
it. Go with great. One that isn't.
Because that's the one that comes that he okay, didn't ask my favorite.
Next second. No. Go ahead.
What's your favorite then? How's that?
Go for a deep
quit playing games with my heart, maybe?
Oh, that's a good one, actually. Really I haven't nice. Thought about that one in
the
a while.
The Call.
The Call is the best Backstreet Boy song. Is,
okay. I disagree. I think the best one is Backstreet Backs. It has the great video.
Right up on the mic.
Right up on the mic.
You got to talk into the mic, Piker.
See, I'm usually a yeller. So.
Yeah. No, these are very, you can eat them if you want. You can get right
yeah,
in
just
there.
Just get right in there.
These are actually made out of licorice.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about Backstreet Boys? Oh,
that's because Ryan's here to watch Backstreet Boys. Yeah. He's in the beautiful city today. Are you excited for the Backstreet Boys, Ryan?
Oh, yeah. And actually, I think this is the first time I've been to that building as a paying customer. So,
Well, I was going to ask you, how many times have you seen the Backstreet Boys?
Backstreet Boys? This be number one.
This is number one? See, I've seen them in
Maiden
Vegas.
Voyage.
What a show.
Yeah, show. They had the residency that just ended.
Yes. Yeah, it was a phenomenal show. Great group of guys. They all pitch in every time. The concert I went to, Kevin didn't sing one word.
Because he's a Backstreet old man.
But he's there. Yeah, he's still there.
He's there for moral support.
Yes. 100%. So I hope Back Kevin hurts. Does sing for you tonight.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
100%. They're showing up in Oilers jerseys. We know this.
Oh, guaranteed.
100%. They did it in Vancouver.
You're going to boo them?
Yeah.
I'll just sort of shrug.
Do they
just nod disapprovingly?
Did they have a show in Calgary?
No, they did not. I think we know the reason why they didn't have a show in Calgary.
Why do bands skip Calgary, right?
Well, because the problem is the Battle of Alberta was for the right to host Backstreet Boys concerts. Yeah. As a result of a 5-game loss, the Flames don't get the Backstreet Boys for another year or two.
Not only did we get the Backstreet Boys, we also claimed Red Deer as a result of that series win.
It's our turn.
But do you get the donut mill? Or
yeah, absolutely. That's the reason we wanted it.
So we know that nobody goes to the Saddle Dome, but do concerts play at the McMahon Stadium? I honestly couldn't remember.
That's not maybe, a great concert venue like either.
A handful of the acoustics are kind of bad.
Oh yeah, fair enough.
I got a question. That clip that went around Twitter the other day of Mackenzie Weegar, was that the actual Flames dressing room?
Was that the visitor room?
That is the main room, yeah.
Oh my God.
Why do they have framed photos of the players up there?
I think it's an off-season thing because it used to be basically the main room is just a rectangle. They have a back room, which is bigger and nicer that we never get to see because there's no point in bringing us in there. But they have a nicer back room where the guys go in and
trust
they lounge
us,
around.
It exists.
The room they saw is basically the main room where guys come in their skivvies and then put their gear on and that's it. That's the room where they talk to the media in the normal times. But yeah, it's a rectangle. There's not much to it because it's a locker room. There's not much to them, especially when buildings built in the 80s.
So you say that that's an off-season thing to have those photos, but did that like that gives a feel of like
just
a
memorialized
or something like employee of the month awards. Like they weren't even, are they actual photos or are they printouts? Like
they look like frame photos.
Yeah, they look like,
okay, they are. So they are legit.
Honestly, during the most of the time they have these nice plaques on every stall, but I think because it's off season and because they're still,
everybody wants to leave.
They don't know who's on the team. So they're rearranging stuff. They probably won't determine who's going to sit where until the season starts.
That's fair.
I've always actually wondered, how does that get decided in a locker room?
A combination of coaching staff, equipment managers, and usually the captains. But on the in the Flames room, they have two stalls that are closer to the doors that are super wide. They're for the goalies.
Yeah,
and makes sense. No one wants to sit between the goalies because you don't have as much space. And no one wants to sit in the main stall right beside the door because you constantly have people cutting across your gear. But everything else is pretty much pretty standard. So,
do you think Daryl thinks about that on the farm in the off season?
I would.
I think he thinks about his hay, his hay yield and hay prices.
Yeah, I don't think he gives hockey one thought during the offseason.
I think when he arrives back in town, like when he's back in his house and, you know, yeah, I think he's thinking about that stuff when he's not cutting his hay. But I think the rest of the time he's running a functioning farmer. Yeah. He's got other stuff to worry about during the offseason.
Which makes it incredible that he's as good of a coach that he's as
successful as he is.
Do you ever think that might be it though? Cause like he has an outlet in his life. Like he, you know, like he hangs out with his kids in the off season, his grandkids, he hangs out at the farm. He runs the farm during the off season,
teaches them the value of hard work.
I know for the entire time that I'm not on this podcast, I don't think Oilers at all. And then I just come here and that's why I'm amazing.
It's interesting because I actually think about cutting hay the whole time I'm not on this podcast. Episode 219. We got a little derailed here for the first 3.5 minutes.
Hey, yep. Flames and Oilers. It's what we do.
Oilers Nation Radio brought to you by our friends at Oodle Noodle, 17 locations and counting. Ryan, there's one opening in Calgary soon.
On 17th Avenue.
There you go.
I keep getting texts saying, we've listened to you, Ryan. We're putting one there. See? I said, that's not as close enough to my house as I want to.
We're trying. Oodle Noodle opening up in Calgary soon. That'll be location number 18. It's Friday afternoon. Don't feel like cooking. Maybe before the Backstreet Boys, Ryan's going to order some Oodle Noodle from DoorDash. Ding dong. Maybe. I don't know. See what happens. Tyler, as we do every week, get started with a delicious debate. What do you got for us this week?
And a little bit of a new component to the start of our shows as well. We are going to start giving away Oodle Noodle gift cards if you leave us a review. Every week, if you leave us a review, we will pick a few, we will read them, and then we will give one lucky listener an Oodle Noodle GC.
We have any fresh reviews lately? We haven't done this in a while.
No, Real Life is the only one that gets reviews.
Yeah. That first review says Real Life, not ONR.
Yes, that was one slagging us, but praising ONR.
Fair enough.
Praising Real Life.
Well, let me hear that one. I would like to hear that.
Real Life, not ONR, only left 4 stars.
Ah.
It's not going to win you a GC, tell you that right now.
That's
if you are looking for good hockey content, this is not the podcast for you.
I see you found my review.
Yeah. If you are anything like me, listening to some of Jay's rants about the Oilers drives me to the point of cutting my ears off. In spite of that, I really like this podcast. What a weird way to get to that point.
Yeah.
The core three of Jay, Tyler, and Bagmilk is good, but appearances by Wanya and Chalmers really make the show 5-star quality. I wish they both attended more.
Wait a minute. Is this a review on Oilers Nation Radio?
No, it's a review for Real Life that
we just caught some shade in the title.
Yeah.
For no reason. Yeah. They didn't bring us up again.
Well, sometimes you gotta take some shrapnel.
It goes on to say the Oilers talk is decent, except when Jay speaks. Great podcast.
that's because Jay is the most famous Flamington Cowie Flames fan.
Exactly.
Yeah. He has, last time I saw him, he was so disappointed because he wanted to give me a big hug. He's not here today because he wanted me to see his new Flames jerseys. He's got a few of them now.
If you don't know what Ryan's talking about, of course, Jay got caught at a Flames game in Vegas cheering.
Yeah.
Quite excitedly.
Wasn't he on the broadcast?
Yes, he was. And that's how he got caught first by our boy Bear Snake, I believe.
Yes.
Or Fat Dad. He's Fat Dad now. He did a rebrand.
Ah, classic. Yeah. Anyways, if you leave us a review like that next week on the podcast, you could have it read and you could win a Oodle Noodle GC. So that's how we're starting podcast now.
Maybe you could leave a review for Oilers Nation Radio that shits on Real Life.
It says ONR, not Real Life.
Yeah.
Today's delicious debate,
mm-hmm,
brought to you by Oodle Noodle and DoorDash.
Go for it.
Is which teams in the Pacific Division, because Pike's here, we got to keep it the whole Pacific Division theme. Which teams in the Pacific Division do you view as playoff teams next season? Who do you think will make the playoffs out of the Pacific? Keep in mind, last year, only 3 teams made it, Calgary, Edmonton, and Los Angeles. So, you know,
I don't remember exactly what I said a couple of weeks ago when we did something similar.
We ranked them, but we didn't say which ones would make the playoffs.
So here's what I got. I'll start us off. Delicious debate. I'm looking at the Pacific. I've got, I've got Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver as the top three. And I think Vegas is going to get in a wild card, provided that they can figure out a goaltending situation. Like if they get James Reimer from San Jose, as an example, I think they'll be in a wild card spot. So I'm going to say those four. Dan, what do you think?
Well, yeah, like last week I said that to me, you're kidding yourself if you don't think Vegas is going to make a move at some point for a goalie. So I'm saying Edmonton, Vegas, Vancouver, Calgary.
In that order?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Vegas
fired to Calgary. I like it.
Vegas is still a good team up front. Like Logan Thompson, I know 19 games. That's not a lot to shake your head at. And Laurent Brossoit is certainly not an NHL starting goaltender. Nope. But I just think that team is a team that is active. And like, there is not one player on that roster that isn't available if they need a goalie.
Yeah, that's fair.
Our guest, Ryan Pike, your thoughts on the Pacific Division, sir?
I don't see Vegas. I think the big problem is everyone in the world knows they need a goalie and everyone in the world knows they have no cap space and no one's going to throw them.
And they're prone to overpay.
They're prone to overpay and they just jettisoned. Like they lost the Vezina winner for basically for nothing. They lost a handful of players for basically nothing. I think the bloom is off Rose in Vegas. I think no one's going to help out Kelly McCrimmon and do him any favors. And so they're either going to have to overpay to get a goalie and no one's going to give him a goalie they think is very good unless they really just want to jettison a bad contract themselves. So I'm thinking Calgary, Edmonton, LA, and maybe Vancouver in a wild card.
So right now, Vegas, according to Cap Friendly, is $8 million over the cap. I don't know if that doesn't include what's his face though.
Weber's got to go on LTIR.
Yeah, so Shea Weber, but even his 7.8, there's still going to be a shade under or over, I should say.
Yeah.
What do you think, Tyler?
Obviously, Edmonton, Calgary, they'll make the playoffs. I'm not super high on LA. I'm not super high on Vegas. Vancouver, I think, did a lot to improve this year. But again, just because you're active in the offseason, that doesn't guarantee success in the regular season.
I think Vancouver's success will hinge heavily on Demko.
Yeah, it will. Sure. The other side of this conversation, though, is how good do you view the Central? Because last year, 5 teams made it in the Central. 3 made it in the Pacific.
So who made it last year in the Central?
Colorado, Mini, St. Louis, Dallas, Nashville. Okay, Colorado... legit, obviously. Minnesota, pretty much bringing back the same group for the most part, minus Kevin Fiala. But they'll and be
Nick Delorier.
Darn. okay, they should still be a playoff team in Mini. St. Louis is still good. They'll make the playoffs. But after that, like...
I think Nashville will get a wild card spot if they got what's-his-face is healthy again.
I don't like Dallas.
No, I don't like Dallas either.
Like their forward group is just getting older with Ben and Pavelski and Seguin. Yeah. With those three. Signing Marchment's fine, I guess. You know, they have Robertson and
he's legit.
Rupe Hintz and all that. They're good.
Jake Ottinger.
Robertson still isn't signed. Ottinger still isn't signed. Mm. They lost Klingberg, didn't replace him. They got like Colin Miller. That's not adequate. I think Dallas might take a big step back next year. And that's why, you know, unless Winnipeg surprises us, I think there's a real opportunity here for a fourth team to make it in the Pacific. It's a coin flip, in my opinion. I think Vegas gets in because their forward group is just good. Their blue line's solid. I think it's a coin flip between LA and Vancouver for that fourth spot.
Wow.
I don't know which way I want to go. I really can't decide.
If you're flipping the coin on that, Ryan, what do you think? LA or Vancouver?
I've seen too much good hockey from LA the last couple of years. I have to go with LA.
Yeah.
Their goaltending.
The Demko thing, the Demko factor is the, I guess I always shade towards goalies, which makes sense because I'm an Oilers fan. So yeah, Thatcher Demko just excites me too much.
The thing that makes me nervous about Vegas, in addition to their goaltending, because I hate that tandem. I mean, it might be the worst tandem on paper in the league or in the division at least. But with from their perspective, they're going to be capped out. They're going to use all their LTI space to field a basically, cap compliant roster. Yeah. And if anybody gets hurt and can't go in LTI, they're screwed. Mm-hmm. Like they just simply won't be able to afford. Like they're basically a 7 to 10 day injury away from having to use the roster exemption to fill in gaps. And that's borderline embarrassing. It's how they constructed their roster. They went with that gamble. It's not good. And they're basically, they're a flu bug in the locker room or, one or two guys blowing out groins, being out 2-3 weeks away from being like, filled out with an AHL team or having not, they'll have to field a beer league sized team in order to be compliant.
My beer league team needs bodies. So that ties in. If anyone listening wants to play my beer league team. You mentioned their goaltending tandem potentially being one of the worst in the league. Chicago is running Peter Mrazek and Alex Stalock next year. That's worse.
It's close.
Oilers great, Alex Stalock.
Okay, I'll say this. The Flames minor league team, the Wranglers, are rolling out Dustin Wolf and Oscar Dansk. That might be better than some NHL teams this year.
Buffalo's running Craig Anderson and Eric Comrie.
Still better.
It's not better than Vegas.
2001 what? Calgary Flames.
Because Vegas has Anderson. Upside with Thompson.
99.
Yeah, the Thompson upside. But like, I mean, that's not realized yet.
Well, he's been good in his 20 games. So like there's a chance he's good and like is a legit starter. Whereas those other teams like Mrazek and Stalock, neither of them is going to be a starter. Anderson, Comrie, neither of them is going to give you 920 next year.
I think Vegas is the worst tandem in the division, at least. But the fact we're having this conversation 2 years, like a few years ago, they had what? Fleury and Leonard.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about, you know, Laurent Brossoit, who's a very good backup. He's a capable number two. But if you're talking about giving him a lot of minutes, then you have some roster construction issues.
How much time is Leonard expected to miss?
Whole season.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's not going to get easier. Talking about a Vegas team that had a 606 points percentage in the pandemic shortened year 1920, right? Like, I mean, this is a team that a few years ago was like, damn, class of the league. And now they're the laughingstock.
But it just felt like it feels like that team every offseason goes into the offseason being like, what have you done for me lately, though?
That's exactly what it is, because they just traded Pacioretty for nothing again. They love doing that.
Yep. Yeah.
If you're a free agent, you're not looking at Vegas as a destination anymore, are you? Because it could very well be that you spend a year there and then they just fucking punch you for nothing.
I think if you're a veteran who's like, hey, I'm looking to have a good season, play in Vegas, I think that's still enticing. And I'm signing a short-term deal a la Phil Kessel, which we can get to in a second, then it's intriguing. But if I was a young player and they were like, hey, here's an 8-year deal, I'd be like, nah, I'm good.
I'll say this, though. The Flames just signed two guys, Kadri. You know, he blocked a trade to Calgary in 19 because he wanted to stay in Toronto, ended up getting traded to Colorado without his consent, wasn't on his no trade list. Guess what he got in his deal? First 4 years, no move. Huberdeau, pretty much the whole balance of his entire contract with Calgary after being unexpectedly traded to Calgary, full no move. If you're signing with Vegas and you're a free agent of any note, you better get yourself a no move. Otherwise, you're going to be, you know, yelling at your agent later on.
100%. Let's talk about the Flames a little bit, Ryan, because if you had asked us, 2 months ago, things were not looking good. And then Tkachuk leaves, gets traded to Florida, Gaudreau, Columbus. Big dick Brad Treliving comes out swinging to try and, what is that? Do you think that's Treliving trying to just save his spot right now with the Flames, worry about it down the road, or just like, we got to be competitive still. That's the MO of this organization. I got to go fix this.
I think the MO from ownership is make the playoffs every year if you can, because they love that revenue. I mean, the Flames, they signed a big ticket to build an arena. They're still intending to sign a big ticket to build an arena. So it's not like they have a lot of spare cash on hand. And two rounds of the playoffs, like they got seven home games in the playoffs. That meant an awful lot to their bottom line.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're the Flames, you get better ticket prices in the playoffs. People are a little bit drunker. They buy more food. They buy more merch. You flat out, you make more money in the playoffs. So if you're the Flames team and you're sort of middle of the road in terms of revenue in the league, getting a playoff round or two means a lot to the bottom line. But I also think, you know, he's a guy who, you know, the Flames analytics department is very good. They have things mapped out in terms of, you know, scenarios and how players will age and so on and so forth. They think they have a team that can win a Stanley Cup the next couple of years. And well, at least they thought that before they lost 13 and 19. And I think they think that now. And then, you know, I think Bill Daly mentioned at the European Media Tour in a couple of years, by 2024, the cap might be going up a ton. So if you're the Flames, you know, you buy yourself a couple of years to make a run with the group you have. A bunch of contracts are up in 2 years, including, you know, Noah Hanifin, including Elias Lindholm, both getting pretty hefty raises. But if you're the Flames, you think, okay, you know, see what you can do in the next 2 years, then see where you are financially and cap wise in 24 and decide if you need to make big changes or just try to run it back again.
I'm curious to get your take on it, because the last couple of weeks we've been talking about the Flames here, just in the sense, the way I see it as an Oilers fan, I look at it as Huberdeau, Gaudreau kind of saws off a little bit there. I don't think Kadri's as good as Tkachuk. However, Uyghur coming in as an extra piece kind of goes, oh shit, they did pretty well with these two things regardless.
I think the big thing is I think they're a more versatile team now than they were 6 weeks ago, because, you know, your 1-2-3 centers right now are Nazem Kadri, Elias Lindholm, and Michael Backlund in some order. Lindholm is second for the Selke last year. Backlund's pretty much fourth or fifth on a handful of ballots every year, because he's still got that reputation and well-deserved as a good two-way guy. And Kadri would run over his grandmother if it meant he could win a hockey game. He's just, he's built the way Tkachuk is mentally, in terms of he's just wired to compete. And gotten in trouble for overcompeting sometimes, unfortunately. But I think that's the kind of, those are kind of traits that they'd like to see in him. I think you hit the nail on the head with the Uyghur thing, because, you know, the Flames basically rolled 2 second pairings last year for the blue line. This year, Kadri's Uyghur is their obvious number one, and I think it helps everything slot a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Is this a fair take? The Flames are going to be a worse regular season team, but a tougher out in the playoffs?
I think so. I think they're a team now that still needs to win. Like, before they had the firepower, they could beat you 5-1. I don't think they're going to beat teams regularly 5-1, 6-1. I think they're going to win a lot of, you know, 3-2, 3-1, 4-2 games, like games that are close. Then they get an empty netter because they just wear you down. But I think they're a team that, you know, they build their team, and the way that Darryl wants them to play is he wants them to sort of play the way Colorado plays. He sees Colorado sort of, you know, the platonic ideal of what the Calgary Flames can be, in that you have skilled players who can play in any situation. And you also have four lines and three pairs that can just roll. And then you just grind the team down on the other side, mm-hmm, with pace, with structure, with hitting. And by the third period, I mean, they had a comeback game in Dallas where they were, I think, down like either one goal or two goals heading into the third period. And they just kept playing the same way and playing the same way. And Dallas just physically gave in the last 15 minutes of that game, and they stole points from Dallas. And, you know, stealing points against Dallas was something that was really important for them at that point, because they weren't a surefire playoff team.
What do you think this means for the Battle of Alberta? Because the interesting thing about it is, well, first of all, again, to the NHL schedule makers, what are you doing?
Three.
Ooh. Come on. After that playoff series, come on.
Okay, so what do we have? We have the first Saturday of the year.
Yeah.
And then we have, I think
2 weeks after that.
2 weeks after that. Oh yeah. Cause we do the one here up the road, and then we have the one at the Dome at the end of October. And then we have one, I think the day after Boxing Day.
Yeah. I was going to say it's before
the New game Year's. Right after Christmas. Both.
And then we're done.
27th. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're all done before the new year.
It's ridiculous. So what I was going to ask about the Battle of Alberta, it's going to be an interesting twist this year, because, you know, the last few years it's been Cassie and Tkachuk. A lot of it has been driven by those two, like the animosity on the ice. Both guys are gone now, but what we do get this year is Kane Kadri from the playoffs, when Kane broke Kadri's hand or whatever. What was it? His finger?
A lot of K sounds in there. Tkachuk.
Kane. Tkachuk.
Kadri. Yeah. Cassian,
mm-hmm, potentially two Canes. We'll see though.
Huh? Spooky.
I don't think the other Kane would have anything to do with that kind of extracurricular.
All I know is I always think, if I have the schedule maker, if I can, you start off the season with the Battle of Alberta. Maybe you do a home and home this year. You know, it's both teams' second game. The Flames start off against Colorado. Then they go up to Edmonton. I forget you guys.
Well, they're starting against Vancouver.
Against Vancouver. Then you come back here. So it's at least going to be a good first couple of games. And I think it's going to be an important game to set the tone for the season, because, you know, if you're the Oilers, you're feeling, you know, pretty good coming off of, you know, making it the third round. Granted, didn't do too well in the third round, but a lot of teams are playing against Colorado and not do very well. There's probably, what do you think, 25 teams that would have had a similar fate against Colorado?
I'd say
Daryl Sutter's quote before the playoffs
eight days spot wasted.
On. Yeah. Eight days wasted. But it boggles the mind that we're not forcing that one down our throats, especially when we're 5 or 6 years removed from where they were trying to make us a baseball league, where we were going to force interaction between the divisions.
Yeah. You're going to play the double headers and all that shit.
Like that was the idea. And that's why we should be the playoff.
Calgary gets two of them. I think we're doing two games in 3 days in San Jose. And I think doing the same thing in St. Louis for some
reason. Really?
Well, and the nice thing for the Flames is they get to start their season against the number one team in the West and then the number two team in the West. So it's just a good test.
I'll also say this, the game against Edmonton is the only time the Flames need to leave Calgary in their first 11.
Oh, okay. Really?
The opposite of the Arizona Coyotes. Yes,
the anti-Coyotes.
Who spend their entire first month on the road.
How fun would that be to go down to ASU and watch a game there, though? Because it's just an experience the Mullet Arena. You don't get to see an NHL game in that kind of environment ever.
Wow, and it's, what, like 3 years, and then we'll have a new arena in Arizona to talk about?
A new arena
about?
That can't be filled, allegedly, in my opinion.
Yep.
So we'll see.
We still haven't figured out what logo is going to be at center ice, though, have we?
That's ASU's.
Yeah.
I thought that was like they were going to demand to have their logo there, but they weren't going to like say the Coyotes couldn't be there.
The thing was, written in their agreement that the Coyotes just can't put whatever they want on the ice. Like the Coyotes don't have control. Doesn't mean ASU can't be like, yeah, sure, put your logo there. The Coyotes just don't have final say.
Got it. It's more fun to think of it as that the Arizona. Mm-hmm.
No, what they'll have is, they'll have whoever's on that team still go down the night before the arena. Like what'll happen is at warm up before every game, someone's going to have to draw a Coyote and Sharpie on the ice and they have to reapply it before every game.
It'll go viral every time. Now, wasn't there like a craze of that a couple years ago where they had players drawing their own logos over and over again?
Yeah, Mangiapane drew that horrible Flames logo.
And then the Flames turned that into a t-shirt they're selling. They made a decent amount of coin off that. I hope Mangiapane got a cut.
Oh, I hope so too. Come on.
It's artwork.
That is artwork. I liked it. Just like the products that you get from our friends at Cornerstone Insurance. I like all of those too. Woo. Auto, residential, commercial, life insurance. They've got it all. Visit them at cornerstoneins.ca. Get yourself a quote. Citizens of the nation, get yourself a discount. Just click on the about button. It's right there. Got it? Good. Cornerstoneins.ca. One thing I want to get to before we get into our Ask the Idiots questions for our friends at Montana's is the reverse retros. The Oilers one, we teased it on the podcast last week, kind of came out with a little orange. It's the McFarland logo, a little orange around it. Dan, Tyler, I wanted to get your thoughts on it now that it's kind of out there. We talked about it last week, but people are seeing it now.
I mean, I've apparently owned this jersey for an entire year.
Where did you get that from again? That was like
China?
Yeah.
one of the many websites that no longer exists. I looked it up the other day and it's gone. I always thought it was an Islanders base jersey with these new logos put on it. And that now that I've seen the leaked logo and I've seen the one where, Handsome Tom confirmed that that's what he's seen. It just strikes me as like, yeah, I've been wearing that jersey for a couple months now.
Yeah, you have.
Which is not bad. I like that. I'm excited that I was on the leading edge, but damn, does it look good. Ryan, what do you think? Like, I know you're not an Oilers guy, but what do you think of the jersey just on its face?
Flames are going back to like, they're doing the red and the yellow this year, right?
Let's see. I think from what I've been hearing, four jerseys for the Flames, retro home, retro away, Blasties the third. And I believe the reverse retro is going to be a black version of the pedestal jersey with a white C. And I think it's, what ISEX had was a red trim around. So it's going to be good. I've been bugging the Flames for years. The people I know in the organization, you guys should do a black. What happened was Stockton, their farm team, had this gorgeous black alternate that I thought was fantastic. They had this beautiful, like, you know, sort of white and red S as they use their logo. It really popped. I'm like, yeah, I know it's a sea of red, but if you're going to do something different, do a black jersey. So I think, you know, it has the C. For some reason, 90s nostalgia is in. And I think people are going to really enjoy the pedestal for as long as it lasts. All I know is they made a decent amount of coin off of Blasty last year. I mean, I think people internally, there were some folks inside the organization that were like, yes, do Blasty. Some folks that are skeptical. And I think after that happened, the folks who wanted Blasty showed them the financial numbers of the merch they sold and were like, okay, we're doing more 90s stuff.
Yeah.
So they're doing Blasty more 90s
forever.
Yeah. The team was very bad on the ice in the 90s, but they look great doing it. And I think that's their plan now. There's going to be a better team on the ice wearing nothing but jerseys from the 80s and the 90s.
I imagine up here, the Oilers are going to sell a shit ton of jerseys going back to the blue and orange this year.
Well, and that, on top of that, and then the McFarland jersey was the highest selling third jersey of all time for a long, long time.
Objectively cool logo. Yeah. Like there's a simple oil drop. It's cool. Like I think, and you know, doing the coloration, I think any Oilers jersey that doesn't include sort of the orange accent won't pop visually. And I think including some orange into a jersey that was already pretty good is a really nice way of doing it. So they deserve the money they're going to make off it.
Ryan Pike complimenting the Oilers all over the place.
I don't know if I like it.
I'm not surprised you don't like it.
But you're a hater in general.
Tyler's jersey, the anti-fun.
But you're kind of like me. Like I got a couple of responses every time I post my jersey being like, you know what? I hate your jersey. And I'm like, thanks. But also, if there's a jersey that everybody likes, I'm probably not going to like it. Like, honestly,
I just feel like a lot of the love for it's just kind of like nostalgia. Right. And that's cool.
But
like, you know, it's kind of like the old school Anaheim Ducks jerseys, like the OG ones.
The busting through the ice one or the face mask one?
The face mask one, like the D3 Mighty Ducks from the movie.
Yeah.
Those are not nice. If people had never seen those before in their lives and they released them today, They'd be like, those are a joke.
You are salty because we've started this podcast too late. That's what I'm thinking.
Partially.
You're a big jersey guy.
I am.
And what Anaheim did with that jersey is they took maroon and green, a combination we hadn't seen in hockey
ever,
and made it something new.
It's way better than the Ducks jersey that they do. Like, that's just like the D. Yeah, that one sucks. I think it's terrible. Cool. Of course you like that one. You like that one over, yeah.
This guy.
We've got Gavin in here. Gavin is he's interning for us from Nate. Don't listen to Tyler. I know you don't have a mic, but I just want to make
sure. We didn't give him a mic and we're like throwing him.
I want to make that known that don't listen to Tyler.
We didn't even include him in the introduction.
No, we didn't.
Say he was in the room.
He's not in the intro, no. But anyways, it's fine. The McFarland jersey's okay. I'll probably buy one at some point because I'm a sucker. I didn't like the Navy ones the Oilers wore as thirds, and I still ended up buying one.
Who do you got on that one?
Drysdale.
He's my boy. I stayed away from that.
I like the look of those in person. I don't like them on the ice.
Me too. I don't like them on the ice, but actually as like a jersey to like rock, I feel good in it. I think it looks nice as like a jersey.
I just have to say that the fabric that the Oilers used on that jersey on the lettering and the numbers was poor. And you need to figure that out. It's flat and it also creases insanely easily. If you see one of those jerseys out in the wild, note how many creases there are in the number.
Well, that's just because people don't know how to fold their jerseys properly.
That is true.
Of course, but
if you need a tutorial on folding jerseys, we can probably film one with Tyler, because on the last episode of Better Late Than Never, you beautifully folded my Shohei Ohtani jersey to make sure that it was nice and crisp.
Well, Gavin used to work at a different location than me.
Oh, so
he knows all about folding a good jersey too. So that's just the problem. People don't know.
Okay, guess where I'm going next week.
To West Edmonton Mall?
No, I'm going to an Angels game.
Are you? Oh, really? Ohtani boys. Are you going to get an Ohtani jersey?
I don't know yet.
Yeah, that's the move, is you have a couple of beers and then you wander down and grab an Ohtani jersey.
I love Shohei Ohtani.
I was saying that to Dan, that it's almost unfortunate we were in Toronto 2 weeks ago as opposed to this weekend, because the Manoa Ohtani matchup tomorrow would have been excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Oh, well, away she goes.
We thought the Guardians were going to be bad this year. Who knew?
Turns out just the Jays were bad while we were there. The Bats came alive immediately after.
Okay. Is this like a nation vacation?
1000%
curse.
Nice.
Because
they come and hang out.
Oh my God.
Every time that you guys go to Vegas, they lose. I think when you went to Nashville, they didn't do very well.
No, they won in Nashville.
So it's a Nashville thing then. You only have to go to Nashville then.
We come to Calgary, they lose. Mm-hmm. We go to Vegas, they lose.
But the thing is, we went to
Toronto, the Jays lost.
We have never seen the Oilers really out in the wild except for Nashville. Yeah. So the problem is they need to come hang out with us.
I was drunk and shook Glenn Gulletson's hand.
Yeah.
That was the night before.
How's Glenn doing?
I don't really remember.
Meeting Tyler is probably excellent.
Yeah.
Glenn's a good man.
I don't think he remembers either.
No.
Of course he does. That's probably a highlight of his day.
Probably.
Oh, I met that Tyler Yaremchuk chap.
Arm from the building.
I may be gone from the organization, but I'll always remember Tyler.
Is he still here?
Glenn Gulletson? Yeah. He's the Teflon Don, baby.
He's on his third head coach?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just went on for 2 months talking about how he's not coming back, because all I heard was he's not coming back. And then he came back.
He's here. Oh, yeah. Glenn Gulletson. He's just sliding through. He had Todd McClellan.
Ken Hitchcock.
Ken Hitchcock.
Not Pat Quinn.
Definitely not Pat Quinn. Ken Hitchcock. Then he's got Woody. Tippett.
From what I remember, he was still on his Flames contract his first couple of years with Edmonton.
Probably.
Yep. No, his first year, because he got a 3-year deal. He did two in Calgary, and then he was in Edmonton.
Threw a stick into the bleachers.
We have yet to see a stick toss, though.
That's a great.
We have yet to see the stick toss.
They haven't pissed him off enough.
I'm waiting.
Any final thoughts? He got good distance.
Yeah, he did.
Any final thoughts on the reverse retros, boys? If you were going to buy a jersey right now in the blue, Tyler, what do you get?
In like the
right
new,
now
in
today.
The royal blue.
Yep.
I'm going to go with a, boy, you're really putting me on the spot with this one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I might go, no, that's lame. I don't want to say that. I might go Hyman.
That's a good choice. Dan, you're buying a blue jersey today. Who's going on it?
Ben Stelter.
Good for you. Ryan Pike, you're getting an Oilers jersey today.
Where am I going to wear an Oilers jersey? I don't have anywhere where
Who's your favorite Oiler? Which Oiler do you watching the most?
I would say Derek Ryan.
Jersey.
Good U of A boy. Yeah. Good Edmonton boy.
You would have said
he was
Chris
a good
Russell
flame. He was and honestly one of the easier guys to deal with in terms of ask him like a dumb question and he does whatever he can to give you a good answer. So I'll do Derek Ryan.
I also like Derek Ryan for absolutely sewering Dave Tippett when he got fired. That was fucking amazing. Love that. Shout out to Derek Ryan.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right. Boys, it is time for Ask the Idiots for our friends at Montana's.
Montana.
On Wednesday, Tyler and I went to Montana's. We get Montana's messy.
With our friend Bradley.
We had a nice little conversation.
We did.
Bradley and I matched.
Both wearing Jays jerseys.
Yep.
And we all shared ribs.
We did.
I still have some leftovers that I'm going to have for dinner tonight.
I ate a lot of ribs. And then I had a meeting and I was real tired. I had multiple coffees in that meeting and I was still tired. But the ribs, I should say, delicious. Actually, Montana's wings are also good.
Yeah, they are.
So get in
the rib and wing combo.
All right, Ryan, the way Ask the Idiots work is people submit questions to me all week long. The boys have not seen them.
You may notice we're the idiots in this equation.
We're all idiots here. So you're an honorary idiot today, Ryan. First question, we are going to start with Tyler just to get this in. There's no weather's questions here, Ryan. I just like your takes. You can be salty if you want. I don't even care. Or as we learned today from our friend Waz, surly, big word.
Yeah, Waz didn't know what that meant, hey?
He didn't know what the seven Duffs either.
What the what?
The seven Duffs, Tyler, from Duff Gardens.
Don't, Tyler. Don't. Tyler, don't. Don't Born. Say you don't know.
Yeah. Ryan, we're working with children here. That's the lesson. First question, Ask the Idiots for my friend, Taylor Yamchuk. How do you think players like Sam Gagner, Nail Yakupov, and Justin Schultz's career and career trajectory would have looked if they were properly developed like the rookies on today's team? Would there have been a difference?
No. Justin Schultz still carved out an NHL career and has had a pretty good NHL career. He won multiple Stanley Cups, still getting contracts. Justin Schultz is what he is. And I think the expectations for him were too high.
Yeah, they're bananas.
Was he developed poorly? Yes. Was Nail Yakupov developed poorly? No, because he was a first overall pick. Like, you're obviously going to put that guy in the lineup. You're not going to send him down or anything like that. So I think the Oilers deserve a lot of heat for how poorly they developed some players. I think they deserve more heat for how poorly they drafted. I think that's a much bigger part of it. And at the end of the day, the guys that failed here also, for the most part, went on and failed in multiple other organizations. So I don't know. Maybe things could have been a little bit differently for Yak if he was a 35th overall pick and spent 2 years in the minors. But at the end of the day, I think these guys become what they are, and maybe they take longer to get there. But I don't know. I don't think any of them would have been perennial all-stars.
Nation Dan, Gagner, Yakupov, Schultz, would their careers have been different had they been treated differently?
Well, yeah, I think fans, maybe we tend to forget now because we've had a bit of organizational standard set in Bakersfield, but up until Jay Woodcroft came in with Bakersfield, our AHL team was all over the map. It was Norfolk. It was Springfield. We shared some time
Sometimes
with Hamilton.
You didn't have one.
We didn't have one. We were the Edmonton Roadrunners. We were the Toronto Roadrunners. Like, no kidding, this team couldn't send people to the farm to do anything with them because half the time we were sending them, loaning them to other teams to maybe give them some play time. So for me, to answer that question specifically, Nail Yakupov, no, there's nothing we could have done with that. Tyler, you already covered it really well. What was the other question? Justin Schultz, the expectation, he was brought in, and do I think McTavish calling him a Norris potential winning defenseman before he had like played eight games in the NHL was a bad idea? Yes. But again, Justin Schultz is exactly who we thought we were. He just isn't a top pairing defenseman, and we played him like one, and Pittsburgh didn't, and then that fixed him.
Well, in his prime, he was a top four D-man who could run a power play for you and put up decent offensive numbers.
In a pinch hitter role, not consistently every day, just like Mikko Koskinen. Sam Gagner is a different story. If you go back to Sam Gagner could have gone back to London and had another season of, but the Oilers literally had nothing at center to do to sell tickets, and so I think that you just have to go back to the fact that the farm team option just wasn't really available. And so to send him back to London when you've given this fan base nothing to cheer for years and years and years. Yeah. That's the way I remember it at least.
Just before you go on, Tyler, I think about having no farm team thing. I'm looking at Devin Dubnyk. Yeah. In 2006, 2007, he only got to play four games because he was playing for Wilkes-Barre, who was not the Oilers affiliate.
Well, and yeah, you send them, you sign a contract with him and it just says, we'll do our best to get him in there. Not, any set number.
No offense, Oilers. We are the Penguins. We have no fucking interest in your goalies.
The other thing too with Gagne is they kept him up here. The other day I had this conversation. I think it might've been with Waz. We were talking about the word bust. I was like, is Sam Gagner a bust? It's like, he's about to play his 1,000th NHL game. Look at the other guys in that top 10. Patrick Kane, okay, legit. JVR.
Future Oiler.
Bust. JVR at his peak was very good. Mm-hmm. Kyle Turris is out of the NHL. Thomas Hickey, I don't even know if he's still in the NHL. Carl Alzner out of the NHL. Jacob Voracek, okay, very good career. Zach Hamill, 20 games. Logan Couture, very good. Keaton Ellerbe, bad career. So is Sam Gagner a bust if out of that top 10, he's third in games played? No, not every people always top 10 pick. Oh, they're going to be a 20-time All-Star and they're going to be in the Hall of Fame or whatever the fuck they say. Okay, just because you're a top 10 pick doesn't mean you're going to be a superstar. If you can play 1,000 games, no matter where you're drafted, that's a damn good career. Gagner is not a bust.
Ryan, I want to ask you, I know you're a Flames guy, but how much do you think development and usage early on in a guy's career will affect where they end up?
I'll say this. This is my controversial statement. The Flames only lost the Stanley Cup in 2004 because they ran out of human bodies to play in their system. They had no farm team that year. They were splitting an affiliate with Lowell. And the agreement with Lowell basically said, guaranteed them a certain number of roster spots. But it basically said, Carolina hired the coaching staff. So Carolina's prospects are probably going to get, going to get priority. And that's what happened.
Of course.
Brent Cron barely played that year. The Flames had to go down to Brennan Evans, who is infamous in Flames history as he played two games in the second round against Detroit, has never played another NHL game in his life. That's how deep they had to go into the cupboards. And then they ended up, bringing guys back who probably weren't 100% to finish off the playoffs. And shockingly, when you're, half of your blue line is guys that are just absolutely ravaged by injuries, you probably don't win a Stanley Cup. I think one of the better things the Flames did was, the first thing that Daryl Sutter did after the lockout, actually 2 weeks after they lost the Stanley Cup, they signed Mark Giordano, they signed a bunch of guys, and they got their own farm team. Yeah. And that's what I think that's one of the things that one of the painful lessons they had to learn from the failures of 2004. And I think that's one of the things they've been better at the last few years. I think the other thing, a lesson they learned, I think, from Sven Berchi's experience was expectations management. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you go out and you say, I think Jay Feaster, bless his heart, he meant well. Jay Feaster, during one of Sven Berchi's early call-ups, it might have been the emergency call-up that year where everybody was hurt and they had to bring him up from Portland. He said, this guy will be the face of the franchise after Jerome. He's got those kind of qualities.
Oh,
that's it. On one hand, great, it's a great thing as a marketing standpoint, but in terms of, you have an 18-year-old kid who you're trying to keep his feet on the ground and tell him, listen to your coaches, listen to your coaches, listen to your coaches. It's so difficult to be telling him one thing and have this other stuff coming in his other ear. And I think, you want to have the ability to sell hope to your fan base. But I also think Dan, you brought up the Sam Gagner thing. As much as you'd have a year of the fans going, you got nothing here. What about Gagner? Bring in Gagner. I think preaching patience works if you have any credibility of fan base. And I think if you preach patience and then the guy comes in and is awesome, or at least pretty good. And, I think that's one of the things, if you follow, what the Flames say about their prospects, it is impossible, bless his heart, to get Brad Treliving to say, enthusiastic praise about his prospects. Even guys in the main roster, before they made the hard press for Johnny Gaudreau, the most common thing we got from the GM about Johnny Gaudreau was he's a good player, an important player for our team. That's it. That's Brad Treliving, giving a toast at his daughter's wedding level of praise.
Right.
And for prospects, good young player, had success at this level. We're hoping he can continue to grow. That's it.
Yeah.
But I think that does a good job to sort of keep fan expectations realistic, because that way, you know, when a player does finally break in, he doesn't think he need to, you know, the running joke in Calgary for years was, here comes the next 18-year-old man to have his career ruined by having to save the Edmonton Oilers, because that was the perception league-wide, mm-hmm. that you had to bring in, you know, here's Yakupov, here's Gagne, right. here's all these young kids. It almost happened to Nugent Hopkins before Nugent Hopkins turned it around, and he didn't really change anything. They just sort of changed how they were treating him.
Well, they slotted him down. Yeah, exactly. But
that's the thing. Like, I think they, by the time they got to Nugent Hopkins, they learned the lesson, and then they managed to figure out ways to develop him well.
Yeah, well, I mean,
Nuge is like, one of those guys too, where it's like first overall pick, you expect the moon, and then he's turned into a hell of a two-way player, but probably not what you expect when you go first overall, like Tyler said, right?
Well, it's like Nuge is kind of like Gagne in that respect. He's gonna have a better career than Sam Gagne. Obviously, he's been more impactful at the NHL level, but Nuge is gonna play 1,000 games. He's likely gonna play them all with the team that drafted him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, is he superstar level first overall pick? No. But again,
you want him on your team.
Yeah. You want him on your team, and it is a good pick.
And that's the thing, like with drafting and development, you're not hoping to, you know, you'd love to find guys at wherever you draft that are going to be, you know, great, great players for you. But I think the most important thing is to have them be important players. So the Flames got Michael Backlund in 2007, and it took him a while to become Michael Backlund. Michael Backlund has been a very good second line center for them for a while. And, you know, you could, you know, what they're probably going to do this year, you know, barring anything weird happening in training camp or, you know, roster additions, they have a 21-year-old kid named Jacob Pelche, who was on the all rookie team in the AHL last year. They'll probably put him on the third line with Backlund and, you know, just say, Michael, teach him how to be a pro. And that'll be his job. Yeah. And they have enough depth that they can do that. And I think that'll set really clear expectations for this young kid coming in, but it also shows them that they've sort of learned why what worked in the past. And I think, you know, the best slash worst thing for Flames fans is the Oilers appear to have learned that too, because when Kyler Yamamoto came in, they didn't say you need to be everything to this franchise. They said, come in, do your thing. If you're not feeling, you're not great, send it back to Bayko and have you know, run roughshod there. And then a couple months later, you come back up, we'll try it again.
Yep.
And it's worked really well. He's turned out to be a very good player for you guys.
Well, you come back to like what Tyler was saying too about draft mentality too. And it's, you know, if you have that number in front of your name, it doesn't matter what that number is. There's a mentality around that. But to me, it's like, there's a reason that these teams all go off the same draft list, right? Like 98% of the time we can predict where a guy is going to fall within 5 or 6 picks, because it's all just made up. And the points don't matter. We're all just hoping that. Well,
whose line is it anyway?
There's no freaking way that like every year, 32 teams come together and 20 of them are like, yeah, we're going to do the exact same thing. But it works out that way all the time. Now, of course, as you get further down, then people have things that they look for specifically from a guy. But those top picks are usually consensus. And that's where I get annoyed when people are like, well, Yakupov's a bust. And it's like, well, is he? Because everybody saw the talent in him. I mean, yes, maybe people didn't think he was number one talent, but he was right up at the top.
Everybody thought
every team overall. Thought he was. And if the Oilers passed him, the next team would have been last.
What was that? 2012?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to some of the Flame Scouts, and their exact consensus was like I think that was the year it was Yakupov, it was Murray at 2, and then chaos beyond that. Yeah. And the way it was phrased to me was, well, Ryan, here's the thing. There's 30 teams. It was 30 teams at that point. Yeah. There's 30 teams who will have the same, you know, most years, 1 or 2 or 1 to 10 or something like that, depending on the year. And then it's all just a crapshoot.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the top 10 of that Yakupov draft. It's junk. Like, it's such a shit draft.
If you redo it, you'd probably pick Cody Ceci number one, right?
Yes, 100%, because he's handsome. Yak 1, Murray 2, Galchenyuk 3, Reinhart 4. Like, the first 4 picks, none of them really panned out.
The Flames had 3 picks in the first 3 rounds. Was it
Mark Jankowski?
They traded down to get Jankowski because they had to make up for the draft pick they lost in the trade to get rid of Regier to get... So they could re-sign Alex Tanguy the year before. Mm. That turned out so well. And then they got Pat Seeloff, and then I think who? John Gillies. And of those three, I think John Gillies is technically still in the NHL. He's the backup in Arizona.
If you redid that draft, like Andre Vasilevsky goes 1.
100%.
But like, man.
Tom Wilson goes up there.
Yeah. But like that draft is junk. Like not really outside of Vasilevsky, that many other like superstar quality players there.
No, the two best players in the Flame system right now are a 7th round goalie. They got 4th and last because he was an inch shorter than most people wanted him to be. And Matthew Phillips is 150 pounds with his gear on, and he's a point per game AHLer. I got him in the sixth round for a conditional pick.
I just have to say, Ryan, I'm impressed by your ability to jam in and cram in so much Flames knowledge to this Oilers podcast.
People need to know about Dustin Wolf.
It's been incredible. You're doing a masterful job. We're getting informed of the Flames, but I'm not too annoyed with you.
Well, the nice thing is this means in the three games this year we have before between now and New Year's, Oilers fans and Flames fans will be able to have very specific snipes at each other. We're trying to raise the quality of discourse. Yes. So when drunk people are yelling at each other in the beer line in opposite jerseys, they're saying very specific points things rather than just generic things.
Right. Yeah. When we approached the Flames about coming down for a playoff game last year, they said they were afraid of violence.
Question number two, ask the idiots for our friends of Montana's. Of course, we get Montana's messy right now. All you can eat ribs, Dan. They're delicious.
Getting messy.
Dan, why the hell are people afraid of loading up on offense? Screw the defense, I say. If I wanted to hate myself and watch structured defensive hockey, I'd become a Flames fan. What say you?
I think people's trepidation when they come into any roster that hasn't won a Stanley Cup is just a pure fear-based reality. And so you look at a team and whatever hole a team is going to have, because every team in the NHL has some holes. It's just, you know, a question of the level of what they are. For the Colorado Avalanche, it's much smaller than the Edmonton Oilers. And you go on down the line to Calgary and Vegas and all those teams that are below us. And they're all going to have issues as well. But for me, it's, you know, yes, the Oilers, the Vegas Golden Knights, the I can't say Tampa. I'm trying to think of another team. The Florida Panthers are teams that live and die by that offensive sword. And, you know, is it the right answer? Who knows until you get to the playoffs and you see what happens. Traditionally, however, goaltending and defense have won championships. And so that's why people, I think, kind of defer to building an entire team instead of just going after your offense.
Give me Patrick Kane. I'll win 10-7. I don't care. Tyler? Thoughts on loading up on offense as opposed to more structured?
Because you want balance. Like, that's just the end. That's just the bottom line there. Yeah, you can talk about offense, blah, blah, blah. But if you have no good penalty killers, your penalty kill is going to suck and that's going to cost you goals. If you don't have a defenseman who can stop the cycle and get the puck moving in a positive direction, then guess what? Patrick Kane's not going to be able to work his magic in the offensive zone. So I still think they need to prioritize going out and rounding up the blue line before they go do anything like spend a ton of assets to get 3 months of Patrick Kane. It's just not what this team needs. And I like the idea. I wouldn't be against going to get Patrick Kane, but if I go get Patrick Kane, I'm doing it at next trade deadline when Philip Broberg's played 40 games and I go, yeah, that's a guy I can trust in the lineup every day. I'm not doing it now when you just aren't sure how this blue line looks.
Ryan? Stacking up on offense versus playing a little defense.
But offense is expensive. Mm-hmm. If you're going after a bunch of 40 goal guys, you're going to run out of money really quick. Amen. So, you know, defensive players, two-way players, they might not be as sexy, but they're inexpensive. They're efficient. They fill out the roster. And, you know, I think the big challenge is, can you find guys like that, you know, two-way guys who can maybe pop offensively when you put them with good players? Because, you know, Evan Rodriguez is still on the market. I have no idea why, considering he put up good numbers. Maybe he's looking for a good offer because for some reason Nazem Kadri was available 2 weeks ago. But yeah, I think it's just a matter of, you know, there's a lot of weird inefficiencies in the market, but an inefficiency that makes a lot of sense is players that score points get paid a whole crap ton. As a result, there's not a lot of money left over for everyone else. So to fill out a team, you need to find those guys who can sort of fill in the gaps and, for lack of a better term, eat up time when, you know, there's a way. McDavid can't play 60 minutes a night. You're going to need to give him a shift off or two. So do you have one or two guys that can just eat up time while he gets rested?
Well, I mean, to be fair, in Edmonton, we signed 40 goal guys for $5 million.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's just our style.
That's what we do.
But hey, I just wanted to put that out there. Mm-hmm. I had to get it out there.
We get good deals.
We do get our good deals in Edmonton. But yes, it's a fair point. Offense does cost money and goals cost money. You know, you saw it in Calgary. They sent out some goals and they had to go and sign some guys for a fair chunk of money, sight unseen. But yeah, I mean, I come back to that. Like, to me, it's like in the off season, you're always just fearful of what you don't have and not necessarily happy with what you do have. And, so I'm okay with this offense, but I get what Tyler said.
The GM down south, he has a phrase he uses. At the end of the year, there's only one team that's happy, and there's 31 teams that just look at their roster and go, okay, what didn't work? Why are we sitting here and not having a parade?
Yeah.
So, and honestly, even the teams who have parades, I think they're looking and going, okay, wow, you could, why didn't you win 16 in a row?
Right. Yeah.
Question number three, ask the idiots. Ryan, I'm going to start with you this time. What has you most excited about the upcoming season, and what makes you the most nervous?
That's a good question. Most excited? This will be a very self-serving answer. I'm excited to see how the Battle of Alberta feels in the regular season, because it's been nice to see the games mean more as the last few seasons, especially as the teams, you know, both of them become good and hopefully stay good. Yeah. But coming, you know, we're going to have the first Saturday of the season up at Rogers Place, Flames and Oilers. And I think it's going to be so much fun because it's the first time they've met since Game 5 in Calgary. Mm-hmm. And there's new faces on both sides. And I think it's going to be super exciting for both teams because it's a game that'll be part of a season series that really matters. I don't think anyone's going to run away at the Pacific. And I think whoever gets the most of these 6 possible points against each other, it's going to be really meaningful. And, you know, we haven't, you know, think about how many seasons we've seen battles of Alberta where one or both teams were not going concerns. We were thinking about, okay, you know, when's the season over? The 10th. Okay. So I can go on vacation the 12th. I can go to Vegas. I can go to the beach. You know, now we have to worry about covering playoff hockey and covering playoff hockey against each other teams. And that's fun. And it's, you know, I think it means a lot for the players. It means a lot for the fan bases. It means, I think, you know, in both communities, it meant so much to see, you know, I think there's a lot of fun stuff going on. And hopefully the first game of the season's a harbinger of things to come for both cities. And knock on wood, we need to have more battles of Alberta in the playoffs, like at least 100%. Once every 2 years.
Especially if the Oilers win.
Well, and just like jokes aside on it, like, the entire league was watching that series, right? It was.
I had people texting me that I haven't talked to in years being like, are you at this game? I'm like, yeah, it's 9-5. Like, yeah. It's 9-5. What?
Yeah.
So it's just like, surely they're not going to score that many goals in games 2 through 5. Yeah. They just kept coming.
We've had regular season games involving line brawls and goalie fights. Yeah. And those would have been boring parts of this Battle of Alberta series. So how is the rivalry going to amp up? I think that's what I'm excited about.
Do you think there's any pressure on Jacob Markstrom after the way the season ended for him? Like just added pressure over and above what he generally puts on himself.
Added pressure? No, I think he's probably the goaltender, you know, having covered the Flames for a decade. He's the goaltender who's probably the most mad at himself every time he gets a goal. He doesn't think there's a non-savable goal. He thinks he has a chance at everything.
Nation Dan, what has you most excited about the upcoming season and the most nervous?
Well, for me, it's selfish and it's work related, but it's the travel that we're going to be doing. Bus ride down to Calgary for the Battle of Alberta.
Vegas,
baby, in January. So start to save the pennies out of the couch for that now. Just finalizing that, and that should be coming up soon. As well as we have a group again of Germans coming, as well as Finns. And then later in the season, I haven't confirmed it yet, but there's going to be a Canada date, I should say. Not necessarily Toronto, but a Canada date late in March. Well for travel. So yeah, all kinds of travel excitement coming up for the nation and nation vacations. And that's exciting for me. The thing that I have most trepidation about, I'm not going to say fear, but is how good is Jack Campbell going to be? Is he going to be reliant on Skinner to, you know, spell him and kind of keep the flow going? Or is this going to be his net this year? And we'll see what Stu can do next.
Tyler, your MCHECK, most excited, most nervous.
Connor McDavid put up 33 points in 16 playoff games last year.
That works out
to a 170 point pace over 82 games.
He's pretty good.
I am excited to see if Connor McDavid continues the video game mode he was in during the postseason.
Mailbag preview question. Last year he scored 44 goals. Are you taking the over or the under?
Over. I think he hits 50 this year.
Dan?
I would say, over. I don't know about 50. I would say over.
Ryan?
I don't know about 50.
Connor McDavid, 44 goals. Over, under.
Over.
Oh, we'll always take the over.
The thing I'm most nervous about every year is injuries, because injuries can derail a season.
100%.
And you can't control them. You never know when they're going to happen. Think about like Draisaitl, right? Like he got banged up there down the stretch and you never know when that play is going to happen.
Well, injuries can derail careers too. I mean, the Flames just gave up a first round pick to trade away arguably their most important center of the last decade because they need the cap space, because he had, you know, basically 3 or 4 years when he just got destroyed by injuries. Yeah. So, you know, one or two injuries can just pile up and completely derail a career. So, you know, I agree with you completely, Tyler.
And on the flip side too, Ryan, like the Flames outside of Monahan, they were pretty healthy last year too, right? So you can have like seasons go where you're pretty healthy and things go well.
They arguably went the entire season without a significant injury until Monahan's surgery. And then everyone got hurt at once in the playoffs, which tends to happen in the playoffs.
Yep.
For me, I'm most excited about just getting going again. It's just, I like the rhythm of the hockey season. I'm excited to watch it. I'm excited to see what the Oilers do with the full season of Woodcroft. I think he's a good coach. I'm excited to see what he does. And most nervous, I'd say the defense. I'm just not really comfortable with the Oilers defense right now. I want Patrick Kane, but I would rather have defense. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Last question. Ask the idiots. Oh, this is a perfect one. Tyler.
Let's see.
How many ribs do you think it would take for you to build a fort?
What?
10,000? 10,000
ribs? How many racks do we think that is? How many racks? How many ribs on a rack? Five,
about,
six?
About 1,200 racks then?
1,200 racks for Tyler. Dan, you're building the fort out of racks of ribs. Like, how many are you going to take?
Get it.
If that's baby backs, yes. But beef ribs, I'm going to say 900.
Right. Well, like, how do you even build it?
Yeah, okay. What are
we talking about? Like a house of cards situation?
Are we talking like a lean-to against a wall?
However you see.
It's like Lego bricks. You just make it out of Lego bricks.
You build your rib fort as you see fit.
Because what?
You are the engineer of your own destiny.
Did Montana Canada submit this question?
Marks are about four or five ribs tall.
Yep.
But yay high, about 6 inches.
You're leaving meat on the bones.
That's a good question too. Oh God. Cause
your host might get eaten out from under you,
but it insulates you.
That's true.
That is true.
I don't think you can do it for less than 1,000 racks.
This is a wonderful question.
Yep.
It actually you need at least 1,000 racks.
1,000 racks.
I am going to build the Taj Mahal of rib forts. So I'm going to need probably 50 to 60,000 racks.
Let's just do it down on the river.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. I'm building a very nice place for
myself.
Houseboat
out of ribs.
I've got some lofty plans. So I'm going to need all the ribs, as it turns out. RIP to the cows.
That's my vote for the Montana's gift card. Give it to them. That was brilliant.
All right. We got a vote, boys. We got a Montana's gift card to give away. So your options are, Tyler, the Ganya Yakupov Schultz question, being afraid of offense, excited about the upcoming season or nervous, and just we're building a fort out of ribs, baby.
Not doing that one. It's
rib
fort.
I'm voting rib fort.
I'm voting the excited and nervous one.
Ryan, you get a vote too.
I'm going to go with Tyler, excited or nervous.
And there
you could have made it a tiebreaker and Bag Milk would have had to vote for ribs.
Excited or nervous about the upcoming season. Alan, you just won yourself a gift card to get Montana's.
And yes, actually, never mind. Don't listen to me.
And what?
Nope. I don't want to say anymore.
You want to get Montana's messy with Tyler.
I thought there was some other part of this giveaway, but there's not.
The person that gave us the idea for the rib house, if they could send us pictures of their rib houses when they make them.
You'll go to jail.
Actually, if you're listening to this right now, I would like you to sketch out your rib house.
Yes. Nope. You'll get
tweeted at us. And use the hashtag GetMontanasBand.
Send it to Tyler@OilersNation.com.
He also wants your feet pics.
I will find your IP address.
There you go. So Alan, you win a gift card to our friends at Montana's. Of course, head down to Montana's for Rib Fest and get Montana's messy.
All you can eat? Wow.
Delicious. Maybe even build a fort out of ribs. I don't know. Whatever you want to do.
But make sure you don't have a meeting right afterwards.
Exactly. You will be a sleepy boy. You will be a sleepy boy. Before we get to hot and cold performers to wrap up the podcast, just a little quick mention. Dylan Holloway picked number 55 to honor both Mark Letestu and Igor Ulanov in our respective.
And Ben Eager.
Noted Oiler Ben Eager.
Mm-hmm.
What do we think? Like 55 for Holloway? I like it. What was he in college? He was 4, wasn't he? Yep. Something like that?
It's a good lineman number.
Of course.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's what linemen wear is the 50s and then 60s for the defense.
I'd like to see more forwards wear like defense numbers, like a forward wearing number like 2 or something.
Yeah.
I'd like that.
That's you got to just look for like a Lou Lamoriello team because he doesn't let them go above count.
Sorry, Connor McDavid.
You have Holloway, that looked good. That flying down Connor's wing. Sign me up.
Imagine if the Oilers had that rule back in the day and Gretzky was like 14.
Be so lame.
Yeah, it'd be so lame if he was 99 and he's just actually 14.
Yeah.
League-wide retired number 14.
Yeah, that sucks. Nobody
I feel like you wouldn't have even done it at that point. Like probably 99's not. Retired because it's cool as shit.
Yeah.
It's probably part of it.
Not because Wayne was good, just the number sick.
Yeah.
But then people would get erroneously mad about players wearing anything close to 14 and it wouldn't be as fun a debate.
What do you mean by people?
How dare you wear number 13 or 15?
Why so pissed?
Cool Yarvey's like, fuck, just pick 13.
Can't win.
Back to the drawing board.
Tyler, get your buttons ready.
Okay.
It is time for Hot Cold Performers for our friends at Twig and Berries. If you go to twigandberries.ca and use the promo code NATION15, you get a little discount on your order. Or if you just want to go to the website, they got their wheel out. You spin that baby, you can get a discount. Come on.
Yep.
It's a great time. And I see right now, they have got a sale on the Nutsack Body Hair Trimmer.
Pike.
Fix up, look sharp.
Splitsies on the shipping.
We'll talk later.
Then you got to figure out what you're going to do with that extra day.
Well, and also how you guys are going to share the trimmer from Edmonton and Calgary. Yes.
Also, Twig and Berries does free shipping in Canada on orders over $75.
Wow. There you go.
I need to go splitsies, Pike.
Wow.
There you go.
Never mind then.
Yeah, this is all for Pike. So for our friends at Twig and Berries, the way we start off is with our veggies every week with our cold performers of the week. Tyler Yaremchuk, your Twig and Berries cold performer of the week.
My cold performer of the week goes to Phil Kessel, who chose to sign in Vegas. I don't even know if he was considering signing in Edmonton. I don't even know if the Oilers wanted him. I don't even know if he really would have fit in all that well here.
But we would have done it for the memes.
The memes, damn it, and our dream is dead. Phil Kessel, you're my cold performer of the week.
That's a joke. That's an absolute joke is what it is.
Vegas hot dogs are just better, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, just think of the dogs.
I like how someone asked him point blank in the press conference, like, so you're going to play cards? Because he's like a big poker guy. And he was like, I don't know. I have a kid. Like, I don't really do that much.
It's like, maybe. I don't know. What the fuck? Nation Dan, your Twig and Berries cold performer of the week.
My Twig and Berries cold performer of the week is going to go to one Calgary Flames organization for that damn locker room. Get better. You're going to be at my cold performer of the week, Calgary
Flames. What the hell is going on?
As like a community rink.
I have seen community rinks that are better.
If you go to the Clareview Arena, that is the dressing room.
The outdoor arenas are better.
Yeah, down here in Riverdale, the outdoor rink right there. Ryan Pike, your Twig and Berries cold performer of the week.
I'm going to go off the board. I'm going to say people on the highway that change lanes without signaling.
Oh.
I almost saw like four accidents on the QE2 just by people going, I think I'm going to go to the left lane now.
I'm upset.
That is upsetting.
Tyler was looking for a very specific one for that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any traffic related buttons.
No.
Like you said you're going off the board when there's no board.
Yeah, you can do it. The board is
well. You guys had very specific hockey-related questions. Yes.
That's very
hockey-related beefs.
Sports.
My Twig and Berries cold performer of the week are the morons getting mad about the NHL 23 cover. Like, just make your own if it upsets you that much. Take a picture of yourself, print it off, put it there. There's your new cover. I don't understand why people get mad about this. It's so silly. Who cares about the cover of the NHL game? Go outside, get some sun.
You're as cold as ice.
Flipping the ledger, let's finish off the podcast with some bright side news. Nation Dan, your Twig and Berries hot performer of the week.
Well, last week we recorded a little bit early, and so we didn't get to speak about this, but the Ben Stelter Memorial and everything to do with that was just absolutely wonderful. I was able to watch it afterwards, which is a great little addition by them. But the way that his parents spoke about him, the love and happiness that went around the internet that day. It was wonderful to see from Flames fans, from hockey fans around the world. It was wonderful to see. So we miss you, Ben. And yeah, that memorial gets my hot performer of the week.
All right.
Tyler.
Yes.
Your Twig and Berries top performer of the week.
I'm going to go to the world of Major League Baseball, where the Toronto Blue Jays are starting to get hot. As soon as we left town, they were like, you know, it'd be fun winning. And damn it, they've taken 6 of 7. And it looks like things are coming together for the Toronto Blue Jays. I enjoy some baseball. I know you do as well.
I do.
So shout out to the Jays, and they get my hot performer of the week.
Pour it on!
Brooms come out in Boston.
Woo!
Shout out to Jared Sharp, noted Toronto Blue Jays fan. Probably not at all upset about getting swept.
Fraud sucks.
Extra innings wins too.
Mm-hmm.
You take them. You take them. Ryan Pike, your Twig and Berries hot performer of the week.
This will be very selfish. It's nice to get up here. I don't think I've ever been to the offices up here. I haven't seen 80% of the people in this room in person in my life. So it's nice. It's nice to get up here, especially not during the hockey season when it's being relaxed a bit and don't have to be so worried about, okay, hold on. I got to go tweet this out because someone just scored a goal. Man, we'll do that in a couple of weeks anyway. But in the interim, get to relax.
It's getting hot in here.
My Twig and Berries hot performer of the week. You know what? I'm going to give a shout out to everybody that attended and participated in the Oilers Nation Open on Friday. Great day. Hot as hell. Glad we did it in the morning because we kind of missed the afternoon heat. That was a smart move. So everybody that attended the Oilers Nation Open on Friday out of Cattail Crossing.
Put some respect on my name.
Even
put some respect on my name.
Except Princey.
Except Princey.
Although I will give an honorary hot performer of the week to Princey for all the shit he took all day after showing up in a Flames golf tee to an Oilers Nation golf tournament. Took it like a champ, though. Gavin, thoughts? Thumbs up from Gavin. That's all you needed to know from Gavin.
Good work.
That's all you needed to know from
Day one of the internship's gone well for Gavin.
Episode 219 of Oilers Nation Radio is in the books. I want to thank DoorDash, Oodle Noodle, Cornerstone Insurance, Montana's, and Twig and Berries for making it all possible. Most importantly, you for listening. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Enjoy your weekend, everybody.
Shout out Gavin.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Are you ready for playoff hockey? Well, listen up, because I've got something for you. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and here's a sneak peek into some of the questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. Simple, right? But there's more. You gotta decide if the total for the game is going to go over or under a certain amount, and the strategy doesn't stop there. Next up, you're picking which player is going to light the lamp first, and finally, you gotta predict which period in the game is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That is all up to you. Now let's talk prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. That's right. Treat yourself to some Nation gear or even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the round winners, cash money. Cold, hard cash. We're putting real dough in your pockets simply for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. It's game time, folks. Head over to games.dailyfaceoff.com now and prove your puck prowess.